Yo.
Hey,
It
yo.
is episode almost milestone. We almost there. We almost at 200 episodes. We are on episode 198. Some Dude Pod. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, make sure you follow us on everything Some Dude Pod. Click the link in the bio. You get the merch. All of that. But, man, a lot of stuff to talk about today, Mike.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff to talk about. I know we want to get to the battle stuff, because, I mean, it's the battle stuff. And it's really from a, I guess you could say, from a happy standpoint, this is great.
Okay.
This is amazing. But before we do that, we got to talk about the passing of two legends in hip-hop that happened days after each other. So last week, we had got the word that the finisher, Mr. C, passed away. And then days later, we get the word that Rico Wade passed away, Dungeon Family founder. And, man, I ain't gonna front, Mike. If you would have asked me for a mental health check that day, I was all over the place. Because we were celebrating Liam's third birthday.
Happy birthday, Liam.
Happy birthday, Liam. And I wasn't planning on doing too much work that day. I was just relaxing. And then, damn, you get word that an icon, a legend, one of the pillars for Atlanta, one of the main reasons why Atlanta is what it is today, passed away. I had said on Facebook that in 1995 at the Source Awards, Andre 3K said the South had something to say.
Absolutely.
But Rico Wade and the Dungeon Family provided the soundtrack to that. Man, what was your thoughts on the first? Let's go with the latter. What was your thoughts on the passing of Rico Wade?
Man, bro, like, it's surprising. 52 years old, bro. It's young, fam. You know, you hate to lose icons, bro, in hip-hop, man. Especially at a young age, man. Like, that's a tough pill to swallow, bro. When you really look at the catalog that, you know, that they did for the South, bro. You really can't do nothing but just take a bow, bro. And, you know, just salute for, like, the impact on hip-hop, let alone just, like, you know what I'm saying, hip-hop in Atlanta in general, bro. So that's a tough one, bro. 52 years old. I'm not sure the cause of death. Did they say? Because I'm not – I didn't see.
No cause of death for Rico Wade as of now, from what I've seen.
Right. Yeah, bro, that's just a tough one right there, man. So, you know, prayers and condolences to the family of Rico Wade, bro. And, you know, it's still, like you said, the South had something to say. They still got something to say, man. Shout out to Outkast, you know what I'm saying? Dungeon Family, all of them, man. Like, that's a tough one right there, bro. Then you got, you know, like, oh, go ahead. You can speak on that if you want.
Now, Mr. C, different. Mr. C, cause of death was revealed to be diabetes-related coronary artery kidney disease. So, you know, that, and he was only 57.
Man.
So, for somebody who has diabetes, that scared the shit out of me.
Man.
That somebody could pass so early from that and the complications and everything. So, that one was a little bit different for me. And, you know, when the news came out, I was like, damn, this is just another reminder to make sure that you are taking care of yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, and then, you know, we was talking about this. We actually spent a number of just an hour actually on this on First Black Champ. Because, you know, first time we're hearing all of this stuff, and then we just talking about the hip hop stuff, right?
Yeah.
Without Mr. C, there's no Big. Also, Mr. C was Big Daddy Kane's DJ. from his inception to like the mid 90s. Rico Wade is in the Dungeon Family, is the soundtrack to Atlanta. Two deaths by two people, I guess you could consider behind the scenes, that had
a huge
impact on hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be understated, that these two dudes really gave us what changed our lives.
Yeah.
To this day. And I remember the first time I heard Players Ball. I remember the first time I heard Elevators.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I heard Waterfalls.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I heard Don't Let Go. I remember me and my cousins being over that house and playing Cell Therapy, playing Madden, or live.
Yeah,
like he had that on repeat.
Yeah,
he just got his CD player, and that was the first joint he had. So let's talk Big and Big Daddy Kane.
Mm-hmm.
These dudes have influential in what we do and changed our life. So can't say it enough. Thank you for your contribute for Mr. C and for Rico Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stress that enough. Thank you for everything that you gave to the culture and gave to us and everything. So with that being said, oh man, they gave me some medicine too. The kids got doctor's outfits and stuff for their birthday.
Okay.
Mental health check. Where you at?
Mental health check. I was okay. I'm overall a solid week. I did have to attend a funeral. Well, not even a funeral, visitation of one of my childhood friends. He lost his father. He lost his father a couple weeks ago, and so that was it. And that person, you know, his father is somebody that, you know, took me in as one of his own. He was very good friends with my old man and everything like that. And me and his son, you know, we grew up together, high school, you know, played sports with each other, hung out outside of school and all that stuff like that. He went on to join the Air Force and everything like that. So salute to him. And, you know, he lives in Florida now, but he served in the Air Force. You know, he kind of lost touch, but, you know, it's still all love. And I was able to see him at his father's funeral, got to speak to him. You know, I haven't seen him in years. So I spoke to him, you know what I'm saying, gave him my prayers and condolences. And what's crazy is too that his father called me when my mom passed away.
Damn.
So I just recently talked to him not too long ago when my mom passed away. And he called my old man and everything like that, talked to my old man, checked on him, and he checked on me. So, you know, I just want to send prayers and condolences out to the Scott family. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But other than that, I'm good. Physically, I'm fighting off the allergies right now. Allergies, they here. So if you hear me a little bit, you know, I ain't on that stuff.
Yeah, nigga sniff. You know what's up? Man, you know what, Mike? I ain't going to front, man. This is the best I've felt in quite some time.
That's good.
Because it's funny how therapy gets you.
Yeah.
And talking to my therapist like these last 2 weeks, was talking to my therapist and just revelations.
Yeah.
Just came out and it made a lot of sense. I, without going into too much detail,
I seen one of them posts that said breakout session.
Yeah, this was the one.
Or the breakthrough session. Yeah.
It took therapy for me to realize how one moment in your life can change everything. One. And last week, or the week prior, the session prior to last week, we was talking and she just was like, you know, it seems like to me everything that you be dealing with and you might not notice it revolves around one incident.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then you start thinking about everything that happened when that happened, and then relationships or lack of relationships and stuff, because you're just trying to push people away and hold people off, not give them everything. and stuff, it really just started clicking how one moment started all that. I even looked at pictures before this moment and after this moment. Mike smiling before, me mugging afterwards.
Okay.
So y'all know ain't nobody touch me. So let me just get that out of there. Ain't nobody touch me. But it was just one moment that affected me, especially when it happened during my formative years, my teenage years and everything. So it really changed my path. And when she just started putting two and two together, I'm just sitting there like, the fuck? Wow. Whoa.
Yeah.
And like you start seeing how you handled relationships, how you handled people that were not close to you, how standoffish I was for quite some time.
Yeah.
And everything. And sometimes glad I was hidden. Like, glad I disappeared a bit because of my insecurities about certain things. Man, I was just sitting there just, wow. And then the next session, which was last Thursday, just went a bit deeper into it. And just like, man, even till this day, I'm still dealing with the effects of that one moment. So, yeah, this was the best mentally I felt in quite some time.
Okay.
Because I felt like I had clarity on shit now.
Yeah.
Like, you felt like, I felt like I got it. Like, I felt like I got it. I felt like I finally understood. And certain things make sense. Like, the fact that I was so standoffish to a point made a lot of sense to me.
Okay.
Not want to deal with certain people, it made sense to me. You know? But it was just all about just being insecure and where I felt I was in my life. And I will say one of the things that I learned is to appreciate what you got. Like, you can look back and see what was taken from you, but appreciate what you got in the moment. And it was funny, but it wasn't meant to be funny. But my therapist was just like, but everything that you've dealt with, and how you compartmentalized everything.
Yeah.
And you still ended up where you at, not falling off on the deep end, not going to jail, not a heavy drug user, not a heavy drinker, all of that stuff. She said, man, there's less of you and more of people who don't deal with this the right way. Testament to some of the people that's around me. You know, but man, just considering how everything went for me at that moment, like I have been just sitting back and contemplating just life after what, February 1998, and just been like, okay, yup, I can attribute things to that. I can attribute breakups to this. I can attribute just insecurities and things of that nature to this, and how it just continued and continued and continued. I could contribute a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it also lets me know I could contribute a lot of stuff by not having somebody to talk to either.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my parents wasn't the sit down, let's talk type of people.
Yeah, they my parents do. Neither. They never actually, like, yeah. Let's have a heart-to-heart.
Yeah, fucking heart-to-heart. Like,
yeah.
Fuck is a heart-to-heart? Right? I know somebody might be listening to this, and they might be like, damn, that's fucked up, but
yeah,
my parents wasn't the let's sit down, let's talk, let's go to dinner and tell me what's going on. My parents was the let's deal with it.
I was just about to say, I think with the lessons that I've learned with my parents, it was just like you just handle them as they go. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like you learn as you go. I'm not going to sit here and actually, you know, lecture you on this or that, right and wrong. You know, it never was like that.
But it's also, hey, we ain't going to hear you out either. Like, I hate to say it like that. Yeah. It was also, I don't want to hear this. Mm-hmm. Straight. Like,
exactly.
And I realized that at 16, 17 years old, I needed somebody to talk to.
Okay.
And I just didn't have it. I was like, yo, who I'm going to go talk to? Not just about this situation, but any situation. Yeah. Matter of fact, it could have been somebody touched me. I'm definitely not going to talk to a motherfucker. Like, I'm definitely not going. But... And DG, I see what you said right there. Nah, man. Like, what's crazy is when I was growing up, I was the one kid that they didn't say stay in the child's place. Mm-hmm. I was the one kid. I said it on this show when my uncle passed.
Dang, you're growing up, me knowing you and knowing how you grew up, you definitely didn't stay in a child's place.
Hell no, I ain't stay at a child. What's a child's place?
Because you grew up before anybody.
Yeah, what's stay in a child's place?
Oh, man.
All of the stuff that I was privy to, well, I was grown. but no, yeah, I wasn't the stand. I particularly wasn't the stay in the child's place person.
Yeah.
That's why it was so shocking to get that revelation from my therapist. And that's why I think it was important, or it would have been important for me to talk, to be able to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And really get certain stuff out. So it was just eye opening as hell, fam. It was just like, damn.
Yeah.
And just changing schools the way that I did. I changed two schools in high school and just not being in what I considered a stable situation for me. For years, it just made it easy for me to close myself off. Mm-hmm. And that's what I learned about this situation, that this situation enabled me to close myself off in a way that was very detrimental to me at the time. Mm-hmm. Some way I got myself through it, but when I look at some of the things that I missed, and some things that I just didn't enjoy. I didn't enjoy high school. Hey, everybody be like, yo, your high school years. And I didn't enjoy that shit. I didn't. Like, unfortunately, I did not. Mm-hmm. And when I realized why I didn't enjoy it, because I didn't give myself a chance to just sit down and breathe.
Right.
All the trust and the me being comfortable went out the window. Yeah. It just went into isolation, so to speak. And it turns out that it just continued and continued and continued. So it did make me think, like, what if something, I was like, man, I'm so glad nothing really bad happened to me. Mm-hmm. Like it made me and my wife was talking about how she, after me talking to her, she was like, okay, a lot of shit makes sense.
Right.
But then she started telling me some things and about, you know, her family. And I was like, man, I'm so glad none of that shit happened. To me, for me, it was to, I won't I won't dumb it down and act like it was some just simple shit. What I'll say though is when you a teenager and just certain shit happen and you ain't got nobody to talk to, I could totally understand why people go off on the deep end. Mm-hmm. And because of that, at the end of the session, she was just like, man, from that moment on till now, you have to appreciate where you at. So I'm trying to do a better job of appreciating where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is I think even me telling you what I'm telling you could be an eye-opener to you.
Yeah.
Because you have told me to appreciate, like, man, this a win.
Absolutely.
What you tripping for? Like,
absolutely.
This is a win. Like, what are you talking about?
Absolutely.
I'm like, oh, man. Like, I really realized that because of my insecurities and being uncomfortable, I did not appreciate things. I didn't give myself a chance to appreciate things.
Yeah.
And in not appreciating those things, it put me in the mind state of having to be uncomfortable to be comfortable.
Yeah.
I've lived for almost 25 years uncomfortable. I've been used to being uncomfortable. And if it's comfortable, it's going to be taken away. It sucks when you look back and you say to yourself, damn, I didn't appreciate friends. I didn't appreciate things. I didn't appreciate me. I didn't appreciate life. I just didn't give myself a chance to.
Yeah.
And I just know I got to do a better job at appreciating things. Also, I understand my duality a bit more too. I understand like why I'm a hermit sometimes. Yeah. I understand why I don't do shit. Like sometimes people just got to drag me out the house. You know how many shits that I get invited to on a weekly basis? Like I know there's some people that's like, yo, I'm not going to invite Bang and shit no more. Like
he
ain't going to come. Like I know Brianna Gatlin, I know Bri ain't inviting me to shit no more. Cause she like, yo, I'm always inviting you and you don't come. Now, sometimes when I don't come, it's a legit reason. I got kids, fam. But I learned that the majority of the reason is because of my anxiety.
Okay.
I'm always thinking something's going to happen. I think some shit going to fail. Yeah. I think somebody going to take some shit. My back is against the wall, making sure shit going to go down. Like, I'm always on swivel. How can you enjoy yourself when you all on swivel?
When it comes to those type of events, because you just went to the wrestling joint Fridays.
Was the day after therapy, my nigga.
Anxiety was up.
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I went to the shit. Like, shouts out to Jonathan Hood. I ain't talked to him about this shit. But I needed that night more than he did.
Yeah.
It was right on cue. It was right on point.
Yeah.
The therapy session was on Friday. Thursday. Tickets on Friday. And I thoroughly enjoyed myself, Mike. That was the first time in a while that I just thoroughly enjoyed myself and didn't think of anything else.
Yeah.
I was present in the moment. I learned that I'm never present in the moment. Just look at my career. I barely got pictures from WindyCityUnderground.com. And the things that I did there, like once the interview, I'll be in on the cruise, DG. I can't go to your boyfriend can cook. I'll be with the old niggas. I'll be with the old heads. But I never appreciated the moment. It was just like, it's done. It's over with. Boom. I bet. Let's move on. Let's get up out of here.
Yeah.
So I look back and I don't regret those times, regret those days. But when my kids go up, they ain't got no photos or anything like that to see dad was really out here doing that shit. I wasn't really doing that. I mean, if we just had a photographer to join, I got those, but you know, it's other shits that I just didn't get.
Yeah.
Like I said, going to these events and everything. Like, even when I went to an event, even when I hosted an event, I was never comfortable. And the crazy thing about me saying all of this, because I wasn't gonna delve into it a bit, because you know, we got a lot of battle shit to talk about.
Yeah.
But when you ask about mental health, and we've been honest about some of the things that we dealt with,
always speak on.
Yeah, I think that this is probably the most perfect platform to talk about this about.
Mm-hmm.
How I have never been comfortable. When I get on the stage, Mike, to host the show, I'm never comfortable.
And it would never look that way, though. Never right. Look like you're uncomfortable with that.
But I'm uncomfortable. And the thing about it is, I feel like I have to be uncomfortable to get on that stage in order for it to work. If I'm comfortable when I get on that stage, I feel like it's not going to work. It's going to be a tough day.
Yeah.
That's not normal. That's not normal. When I go to these events and everything, and everybody like, oh, man, I'm not comfortable. My head is on a swivel. There's a photo, and I got to find it. Just thinking about this conversation. That is perfect. I got to find the photo. Because shouts out and rest in peace to my man, Will Worley. He in the picture, and it was a couple other pictures. It was a joint that we did. I think it was down the street from Lacuna. I can't remember. But it was some stuff that Brianna put together. And it's everybody talking, but then it's me in the middle of that shit, mm-hmm. Head on the swivel, Gene. I gotta find the photo. But that's me for all of these years. I'm never comfortable. And in some cases, I put myself in uncomfortable positions in order for me to be comfortable or to feel comfortable. And if I was not in a situation where it was just like crazy, it didn't matter. And like speaking about my man, our man, Big Med, you know, when I told y'all about the shit with my grandfather, mm-hmm. Med has said, only you get these crazy ass situations. And remember, I told you I didn't want to go. But I think I was so uncomfortable that I was like, yo, I got to go now.
Yeah.
If I would have been comfortable, I probably wouldn't have went. If it was the chance of me thinking that everything was going to go great, I probably wouldn't have went.
Just to avoid the disappointment, maybe.
Just probably. To avoid the disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to avoid the disappointment of going somewhere and thinking everything was going to be okay, let me come into the situation just very uncomfortable and on nerves and on go. So if the shit don't function well, then I'm justified in thinking the way that I thought.
Yep.
So I know that this is something I have to work at being better at and being present in the moment. But for those of y'all who've known me for years, who have talked to me and kicked it with me and drink and smoked with me and had a good time and have great things to say about me, thank you. But in any of those times, I was never comfortable. I was just never comfortable in that moment. And I thought that was normal. I thought it was normal. And I got to figure out a way to make that not the norm. Because, man, you realize when you think in that way, how much you miss.
Mm-hmm.
And how much you just could have enjoyed certain situations. Enjoyed certain people.
Yeah.
I realized even with my breakups, G, even with the women that I've dealt with in my breakups, the moment I felt comfortable with a chick, all right, peace. I'm out. What you mean? Like, I'm straight. Y'all ain't about to get me, nigga.
Yeah.
But in the situations that I was uncomfortable, I felt like, okay, I got something to strive for. And probably those situations I let linger way more than I should have.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just to end that part off, man, I have to do a better job at being comfortable and allowing myself to be comfortable in these situations. I have to look at what I've done in my life and understand that I've done good. I'm okay. Nothing is just going to take that away. Nobody's just going to snatch that away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you saw when you was younger is not going to happen every day. And hopefully I start to enjoy more shit. Now, maybe if I host a show, maybe if I host an event, maybe if I go to these joints, I'm actually going to enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of feeling like I have to be on, I have to be a certain way.
Yeah.
Because, man, also when you look back, you realize this shit sucked. Like, Mike, like, fam, Mike, this behind me, this couch behind me, when I got home, G, I was just on the couch thinking, what the fuck was I doing this whole time?
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me every time I got on that stage, I was not me?
On edge.
I was on edge?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me every time I hosted a radio show, I was on edge? The chances that I had, I was on edge. The women that I dealt with, I was on edge. And as crazy as a lot of those people will say, nah, you was cool as hell, fam. What the fuck is you talking about?
Yeah.
Nah, G, I was not healthy mentally. I was on edge. I was nervous. I was unsure about myself. I was insecure. So it's just a learning. It's a learning lesson, learned lesson to be, for me, and this is my promise to me going forward, just be comfortable in my settings,
mm-hmm.
comfortable in my surroundings, be comfortable in what I do, be comfortable in who I love, comfortable in who loves me, and be comfortable in where I'm going forward. I spent too many years being uncomfortable and thinking that shit was cool. I spent too many years feeling like I had to be a nervous wreck in order for me to win. I felt like I had to take away things from myself in order for me to win.
Yeah.
In some cases, I felt like I had to do dumb shit and move on from people in order for them to get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like I was going to bring them down. But in certain cases, I left myself in toxic situations because I felt like what else I was going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Got to fix that.
Yeah.
And it might be difficult for some people because they're used to a certain type of me. And other people might be like, yo, you was all good in my book. Some people might be like, yo, I noticed the change.
Yeah.
I just know I got to fix it. And when half of your life, this is how you was feeling, it's going to take some work. Work in progress, though.
Always a work
Shouts
in progress.
Shouts out to therapy. You okay. know what I'm saying? Definitely. Even if you see in my face, fam, I look a little bit more. No. With that being said, we got a big announcement this next week. Speaking about being present in the moment.
Yeah, man.
We got a big announcement concerning. If you heard us, we said we on episode 198. Means we got a big
announcement coming. Big things coming.
And keep it locked. I promise to be present in that moment when that happens.
Very good, man. Very good.
I fuck all this working on yourself shit. Let's get to the raps.
Yeah.
Let's get to the raps, y'all. Man, oh man, oh man. Last episode, we was like, yo, what happened to the game we love? This episode, the game we love is here. Yes. So after the Rico Wade announcement happened, I was a bit depressed. Because it's like, yo, we're losing recipes out here.
Yeah.
And then I went on Twitter. And then I heard a song.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, is this AI or not? I sent it to you, Mike. I sent it to others.
Yeah.
Is this real or not, y'all? Then Academics went on his streaming platform and played a whole new version. Ladies and gentlemen, Drake responded. Drake responded. Mike, how did you feel about push-ups? Drop it, give me 50.
Hey, look. Last week on the pod, if y'all listened to the pod last week, I think it was last week. I said that I felt like Drake wasn't even gonna get involved here when it came to responding to Kendrick Lamar's Like That verse. I said that Drake was gonna, you know, hop on a couple Khaled records this summer, you know, and maybe possibly, you know, spit some subliminals. Who knows? Like, you know, give us something to dissect and make us think like, hey, is he talking about Kendrick or talking about this person? You know how Drake does, you know? So that was my guess on what Aubrey was gonna do as far as this whole big three battle was concerned. But Aubrey proved me wrong. He shut me up. Bang sent me that song. I was at the bowling alley with my daughter. She was practicing. I'm listening to it on my phone, and I'm like, "Hey man, ain't no way he let this get out. No way." It sounded really good, but it didn't sound, the audio wasn't really clear.
Yeah.
So I was like, if this is legit, why would you even let this loose? And then on top of that, the original version was like over the Get Money sample. It was over the Get Money.
Yeah.
Junior Mafia, Get Money. And then I'm like, nah, man, this can't be legit. And then... Did you send me the new version?
No, you sent me the new version.
I sent you the new version. Yeah. So look, I was on the phone with Jay Morgan. We were arguing about it. And I was like, hold on. He was like, man, Joe, something just popped off on the internet. Check it out. I checked what's trending and shit like that. And I see the first thing I see, and it took me back to the old days when we used to download songs and leaks early. The three letters. CDQ.
Yes.
I saw CDQ and I clicked on it and I said, oh, this is a totally different version of the record. And I said this, and then I didn't even have to listen to the song anymore. What gave it away was the Who Kid. So I went directly to DJ Who Kid's IG and I checked his IG story, and there it was, him trolling the whole situation. So that just gave me clarification that it was legit. I didn't need to know nothing else. Then I listened to it. And then I think on the OG version of the song, it was like a part of the song where it was kind of like blanked out. And then on this one, it was like all the way in full. It was very clear, everything like that. So yeah, Aubrey, you know, responded. And I applaud him, bro. It was a solid response. And it wasn't just at Kendrick. He firing off on everybody. Yeah. Future caught a stray. Metro Boomin caught a stray. Abel caught a stray. Abel, aka The Weeknd, he caught a stray. Rick Ross caught a stray. You know, and yeah, bro, it's up. Shit, even J. Cole might have caught a little slight stray in there.
Oh yeah, he did.
He got a little mention in there. I don't necessarily think it's like a diss, but hey, he got a stray shot at him. So look, bro, Drake, thank you, bro. I appreciate you, fam, because I didn't see it coming. I didn't think you was gonna do it. Not in this fashion. The only disappointment I have in it is that, you know, I wish it was a legit release. I don't want to go on the internet and listen to these AI versions of songs and we have to guess whether the shit is real or fake. If y'all niggas going to drop these shits, bro, I need to see them shits drop from y'all verified Twitter accounts, bro. Drop the link yourselves so I know it's real, bro. I don't feel like dissecting. I don't want to wait for verification from somebody from your label or somebody from your crew telling me it's legit or not, bro. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because this AI thing is really, it's taking over right now. So we don't know what's real and what's not. So that's what I would hope going forward. Whatever we get from these guys, man, y'all release it on y'all platforms, y'all selves. You know what I'm saying? Put it on the streaming site, whatever you're going to do. But overall, though, like I said, drop and give me 50. I'm rocking with it, bro. I like it. I'm cool with it. I'm happy about it. And the beef is up. It's up and it don't look like it's slowing down no time soon.
Yeah, now, first of all, before we even move on to who I think is the real winner so far, I was not surprised at this because Drake is the same dude that gave us They Scheming. Like, Drake, I knew Drake wasn't coming into no battle and coming into it lightly. Drake is a person that will win or lose. He's going to come out there and give what he got. Like, we could debate. Some people will debate that Pusha T lost. Some will debate that Pusha T won. I'm one of those people that, you know, will say, yeah, Pusha got the best of them on that. But I think Drake keeps it as hip-hop as he can.
Absolutely.
And is going to do whatever it is around until y'all do something crazy.
Yeah.
With that being said, I think that the track was nice. It definitely had me bouncing to it and everything.
And that's the one thing Drake does too. He's very strategic with his disses.
He gonna give you some shit to bounce to.
Alright, because you know what he did when he dissed Meek Mill.
Yes, he did.
Back to back went number one.
And remember, I told y'all on Twitter when that happened, Meek, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's.
Yep.
And we saw what eventually happened. They made up.
Yep.
But what I love about this, and this is something that I talked about on First Black Champ, because we did talk about this, and we talked about this, so I ain't going to hold you, and I'm going to mention it here and go a bit deeper. Even though I didn't like the fact that Drake didn't put it out there and put his name on it, because technically, Drake ain't really put his name on his diss.
He hasn't.
It's nothing on the streaming platform. He didn't go to a radio station,
and
I
don't know. Maybe is that because of a clearance thing? Like, is it something in the production where he can't clear the song? That's the only way I could see this not being a actual legit Drake release.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm saying it. It's him, but it's there's no stamp.
Okay.
Is everybody saying, oh, we got this from him?
Yeah.
Which is cool. At the same time, it was the closest. Hold on. It's the closest to what we gonna get when it comes to what we used to get in the 2000s.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nigga, Jadakiss dissed me. Benny Siegel grabbed the state property and took them to Hot 97. Them niggas rapped for an hour. And next thing you know, it was on mixtapes.
Yeah.
And CDs. And it went from New York to across the country. I remember being at College DuPage, Mike, and us talking about Benny Siegel and Jadakiss. And everybody knew that I was a Benny Siegel fan. And being that I'm a Benny Siegel fan, they also knew that I was a Jadakiss fan. So they was like, yo, where's your allegiance lie? Where do your allegiance lie, fam?
Pick a side, nigga.
Shouts out to my man, Akil. He like, yo, you got to pick a side. Where you at, fam? And I was like, I don't know. These are my two favorites right here. I'm split. Yeah. You can't be split. You got to pick Beans or Jada.
Yeah.
Listen to Beans at Hot 97 with the Young Guns. Yeah. In those Skeeno and Sparks. They just still rapping. This is one track. I was like, oh, shit. These niggas with the Hot 97, fam.
I tell you right now, I was. It doesn't even matter if I love Jadakiss or not. Beanie Siegel was signed to The Rock. He was affiliated with The Rock, and Jay-Z was my favorite rapper. So at that time, it didn't even matter. It was Beans all day.
Yeah, it was Beans
all day. Just off Rockefeller alone. Yeah. Didn't matter.
Yeah.
Even though now when you go back and look, you listen to the Jada one, I don't know. I love both of them. But I
love both of them.
It's tough. But
then Styles come through. Yeah. It's like, oh, they all at it. Oh, my favorite group versus my favorite rapper. Yeah. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? All I did was enjoy them shits, fam. And that's what Saturday reminded me of, because not too long after that,
yeah,
Rick Ross was like, fuck this shit. Now, let me say this, y'all. Yeah. If y'all would have asked me what the track, how I feel about Rick Ross's track, I'd be like, ah, it's all right. Until he stopped rapping, and then he started talking.
That's when it got up for you, huh?
Nigga, I said, uh-oh.
See?
When I heard Rick Ross, women.
Go ahead.
When I heard Rick Ross's monologue, I said, uh-oh. Drake battling the wrong dude. Here's why, y'all. Rick Ross ain't gonna let up. He's not. Rick Ross, if y'all think Rick Ross is going to let up, only way that's going to happen is if they really cool and they cordial and they just playing. But even when you think some shit with Rick Ross is a joke, you find out that it's not. Go ask DJ Envy. Because we all thought that shit between him and DJ Envy was a joke. Then it turned out not to be a joke. He was shitting on Envy every Instagram post.
Yeah,
like literally, it was a jab every Instagram post. Here's the thing, he ain't gonna let up on Drake, and I hope the guy he don't have no inside information, or he don't find out no inside information, cause then Rick Ross gonna be like, yo, reporting from the Ross residence. Oh, I got some breaking news, and he's gonna talk to you in a way that he's just gonna sun Drake. And this is something that me and my man Scott, who are fat, had said about Rick Ross and other fat people. Mm-hmm. The best gunners are fat people because we're battle tested.
Yeah.
We're gonna heat y'all ass all day long because you fat and you battle tested. Rick Ross is battle tested because probably all his life, he'd had to sun niggas because he was fat or he was a correctional officer and people thought it was sweet. Drake can't win that battle. Okay. He can rap all day long, but the fat dude gonna heat up the cool dude 9 times out of 10 because the cool dude thinks that he could get away with it just by being cool. Well, the fat nigga got a point to prove. Rick Ross got a point to prove. That's the only way he gonna beat Drake in this battle, by talking shit about this man. And he's gonna do it forever if they ain't cool. So my thought is, Drake, y'all be cool. Y'all just joke around with this shit. Because mm-hmm. Rick Ross is a song away from getting real personal and niggas want to fight him.
And I honestly feel like, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out where's the beef. Like, how did this beef kick off between Ross and Drake?
He laughed at the song. He laughed at the host. I don't know what may have happened.
The Like That joint?
Remember on his Instagram when he was talking about Like That?
Okay.
Play that shit again. I think that's when it started. Now, I don't know what happened between them before that.
Because I'm saying, prior to that, these niggas kissed and made up and shit. Because they was into it before that. And they kissed
right.
and made up. You know what I'm saying? And then they started making records again together on, I think they was on Ross's Port of Miami too. And Ross was on Scary Hours too. So they collabed after they was beefing or whatever. So now here we are. And Ross, they kind of like inserted himself into the beef, which, all right, it's cool. But like you said, hearing the song, the actual diss record, it's okay. It's a good little, it's a good record. It's always good to hear Rick Ross rap because Rick Ross can rap. Rick Ross is a great rapper.
A motivated Rick Ross.
I love it. I love it. I love it. But it's like he just inserted himself into this and it just looked corny. You know, but like you said, the monologue at the end is going to keep you, you know what I'm saying? It's going to keep you invested in Ross. You know what I'm saying? And his side of the beef. Because now you go on his IG post, he getting petty. And then you check, shit, Drake is a petty motherfucker too, though.
Oh, Drake is very petty what he Drake did to Metro Boomin.
But now I can see that I think he's locked in on Metro right now. I don't even think he's going to react to Ross anymore.
Oh, yeah, and he's locked in on Metro.
And I think that's just going to make Ross even madder.
He's locked in on Metro. How he you just send in. Drummers to Magic City?
He locked in on Metro now, bro. He locked in on him, bro. And honestly, I think that was that right there was already brewing up because Metro already was making slick remarks, kind of in regards to you know, how his album wasn't getting the same recognition as Her Loss because they were like getting like put in the same categories when it came to the awards and stuff like that. So he was kind of making like little jabs at Drake. And what's crazy is that Metro Boomin is on that album. Yeah. he's on Her Loss. He got records on there. So
this is why we need Rap City back, Mike.
This shit's crazy.
This is exactly why we need Rap City back. Because somebody need to be in the basement with Tigger explaining why this shit is taking place.
We need to know exactly.
Is Academics the new Rap City? Is Academics the new Funk Master Flex?
Funk Flex right now.
Yeah, he's Act Master Flex.
Funk, AK Flex, bro, whatever. Like, he's on that right now, bro. I can't believe it. I'm shocked that we got to go to this nigga's stream to get confirmation on shit.
Right. Like,
crazy to me, bro.
How come we just can't go on BT at 3 o'clock?
This is crazy, bro.
We got to go to the stream.
AK is the reliable source right now. He's the reliable source. And when we heard, and when I meant to say this too, like when Joe Budden went on his podcast and he was like, man, Joe, the diss tracks is coming in and they nuclear. I'm like, bro, how do you know this? First of all, Drake don't even like you. Like this, every time you say something about Drake on your podcast, bro, he always responds to you. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you criticize him at least. Like, so he's not a fan of yours. So how are you getting this information?
Niggas be fans, but niggas don't be acting like they don't be fans, but niggas be talking.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to figure that out, bro. So I never understood how Joe Budden was a reliable source, but technically he was right. At least from the Drake part.
Yeah, but nah, so, man.
This is wild times right now, though, bro. And I hate to see it, the whole Drake and Ross thing, too, bro. I would hope that eventually they shake hands and like, all right, bro, it's all good. Let's get back in the booth.
And the Ross thing, talking about the French Montana stuff.
Right.
I had to remind my man A+ and DJ Nails. We heard them French songs. Mm-hmm. Remember, I text you.
Yeah.
Remember, in one of my Atlanta visits, we got played four or five songs with French Montana. Mm-hmm. And three or four of them were Drake songs with French Montana. And then they FaceTimed French Montana. French Montana said that he had an album coming out. And it just never came out. I remember texting you like, yo, Drake and French got some shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then it made me feel stupid because the songs never came out. I didn't know it was a cease and desist. Like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Why was it a cease and desist?
Apparently, I mean, when he sent the verse, did he know that Kanye was going to be on the song? Because apparently that shit had something to do with, like, Ye. Possibly.
But when I heard it, we didn't hear Ye. When I heard the song, we didn't hear it.
Right.
Ye was not on the songs.
Okay.
When we heard it,
right,
it was just Drake and French. One of them was Splash Brothers.
Yeah.
Which ended up on Elliot Wilson's IG. And I was like, oh, that's one of the songs.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Oh, excuse me.
I heard that a year and a half ago. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Damn. So is Rick Ross coming at Drake over French Montana songs? I don't think that's a reason to shame somebody.
Yeah,
unless
bro,
it was just dumb lamely.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it just feels like Ross just inserting himself randomly in here. But, hey, it's entertainment, I suppose.
Hey, and it's going to be continued entertainment because Rick Ross ain't going to, hey, Drake going to have to buy a Wingstop. Or no, Drake going to have to buy a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Drake going to have to dig in his petty bag.
Yeah, you got to dig in his petty bag.
Because Ross is kind of like on his 50 Cent shit right now.
Yeah.
And he knows as well as anybody how 50 get down because he beefed with 50 himself.
And won.
So.
And technically won.
Technically,
so Drake is going to have to call Department of Human Services on all of Rick Ross's Wingstop locations,
yeah,
and get them closed for a couple of days, and then go on Instagram Live, say all these damn rats up in here are supposed to be chicken, but they rats or some shit. He's gonna have to do that.
Yeah,
he's gonna have to match Rick Ross's petty, mm-hmm, and take it to another level. You're going to have to hurt the Wingstops.
If you're going to still entertain Ross, dig in that petty bag, Drake. Yeah, so it's as petty as you getting with Metro right now. We going to need you to. Yeah, Ross ain't going to play with you, dog.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. And the fact of the matter is not only is Rick Ross involved, but it's a cast of thousands. Like, Tokyo Tony did a diss song to Rick Ross. Yeah. And then Rick Ross's baby mama, who got new teeth, went in and she started laughing at the diss. And then you got another chick that Rick Ross was dealing with, was playing Drake behind it. So Drake gonna have the women. The women is gonna side with Drake.
Yeah.
Rick Ross, I just don't believe care. That's the point. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to hear something, Mike? Let's transition to Kendrick Lamar a little bit. Mm-hmm. What have me nervous? Why I'm nervous, mm-hmm, with Kendrick Lamar?
Okay,
because I think Kendrick Lamar cares too much about being the best rapper.
Okay,
Rick Ross don't give a damn about being the best rapper. You gonna bar me up? So what? I'm gonna talk shit about your ass and laugh all the way to the bank. Because why? I don't care. Most fat niggas don't really care. Mm-hmm. Kendrick Lamar cares about being the best rapper.
Okay.
And that's why I am nervous about Kendrick Lamar. Now,
I'm nervous in the sense of that the diss record ain't going to be. What do you mean? Elaborate a little more. What do you mean?
Well, here's a couple of things here.
What are you concerned about as far
as... here's a couple of things I'm concerned about, right? And not me. Let me say, I'm subjective with this shit and objective with it. When Ether came out, I was like, damn, he got my mans. Mm-hmm. I wasn't fighting it too heavy. Growing up a little bit, getting a little bit older, and you just realize, yo, I've been arguing too much about Takeover versus Ether. Yeah. Especially when I'll get to Pat a little bit later. Get to Pat ass a little bit later. I'm still not done with you, Pat. But let's go back to this Kendrick Lamar shit. Kendrick Lamar has kind of been the bully out of all of this. You could say he's been the bully. He's the one that's been outwardly throwing shit out there.
Okay.
Now Drake really finally goes in and really addresses it all. And because of that, now Kendrick Lamar is in the seat that we're all waiting on. Now, here's where Drake is ahead of him in a bit, right? he's ahead of him for a little bit simply because Drake makes enjoyable music. And since Drake makes enjoyable music, he could put something out there and his fans gonna eat it up. And let's be honest, y'all, it's more Drake fans out here than it is Kendrick Lamar fans. Mm-hmm. So you have to come out with something astronomical in order to beat that. And that's what Pusha T did. He came out, and even though you could be like, oh, he was being a chatty patty on the record, nobody gave a damn. Yeah. Everybody sided with Pusha T. Mm-hmm. Right now, everybody is siding with Drake. And everybody's expecting Kendrick Lamar to drop something. And if it don't match it, everybody's going to claim that this shit is over. Basically, Kendrick Lamar has to come out with an ether.
This the knockout punch right here.
He can't bullshit with him. This can't be how y'all talking about, this is the first round of the battle. Damn. No. Because as I put on Facebook the other day, Mike, if we go by what people talking about, oh, it's a verse versus a song and all of that, well, Takeover, two of the three verses was about Prodigy.
Yep.
The second verse was about Nas. Then Nas dropped Ether. What did y'all do? Saying that what we shouldn't be doing, comparing a verse to a song. But I understand why y'all compare that verse, because that song was so big. Y'all don't talk about the shit that started all of this. Y'all talk about Takeover and Ether. Y'all don't talk about Takeover versus Super Ugly and Blueprint 2 versus Last Real Nigga Alive. Because if we go by what some people say, don't count a verse as a song when it comes to these disses, doing well, in actuality, the two songs that should be competing against each other, or the four songs that should be competing against each other, is Takeover versus Super Ugly and Blueprint 2 versus Last Real Nigga Alive, which I, the Jay-Z fan here, and you are too, I can say if we're doing that, then Nas won that cleanly. If we're comparing those four songs. With that being said, that's why Kendrick Lamar got to come out and give us an ether. He has to give us a Last Real Nigga Alive. He has to. If that's the response from Drake, this can't go on long. He has to come out and he has to drop something that is so crazy that you have no choice but to say, yo, that's a knockout. It's over. It can't be nothing light. It can't be what y'all call a tap or jab. He has to go in for an uppercut and cleanly hit Drake ass and knock him out. He has to embarrass that man. And Drake was kind of embarrassed about the whole Pusha T thing. That's why he wanted to fight. That's how Kendrick Lamar got to be with Drake. Or he don't stand a chance in the court of public opinion.
So are you saying that Kendrick got to get a little personal? Got to get a little bit under his skin?
I don't give a fuck if it's personal, professionally, all that shit. He got to come in for the kill.
Yeah.
He can't leave no stone unturned. He can't leave nothing to chance. He got to come up in there and he has to straight kill Drake with one shot.
I honestly don't see that being a problem either. I think you hit it right on the head. Whatever Kendrick does, got to be, how Joe Budden say, nuclear.
Yes.
Got to be nuclear.
Got to.
And I think it will be. Will it all just be aimed at Drake? Possibly. Do Cole still catch a stray? You know?
So let's talk about the AI part of this.
Yeah.
Or is it AI? Is it not AI?
Yeah. Look, listen to me. So maybe I want to say something too. So the song that you sent me yesterday, the one Kendrick joint you sent me, if that was legit and that's what was said by Kendrick, J. Cole, I would love to tell you that it ain't too late to recant that apology and come out and play. I'll be okay with it. I won't look at you no differently. I would respect it if you just diss this nigga Kendrick anyway, again, bro. However you feel like you want to do it, if it happens on the fall off, or you want to come out and, you know, jump into the midst of this gunfire right now, I'm cool with it. I won't look at you no differently. You still that dude. You still got a chance to prove you that guy. You know what I'm saying? I take back everything I said last week on the pod about how you got to, you know what I'm saying, just end all talks of being number one. So you could come out and play. If Kendrick was to respond to you and it sounded like that AI record that came out yesterday, I'm cool with it.
So it was two AI records that came out.
Yeah, I heard another one today too. So
it was, well, that'll make it three. So there was a song that was titled "Hi Whitney."
Okay, I haven't heard that one. I haven't heard that
so
one.
So there was an AI Drake song called "Hi Whitney" that was aimed at Kendrick and his wife. Okay. Apparently, her name is Whitney. Then there was the Kendrick song that came out, and people were wondering if that song was AI or not. And that song sounded like it was aimed more at J. Cole for sitting out.
Yeah.
Then it was another one that came out today?
So there's another one called Owl Hunting. You haven't heard that one?
No.
Okay, let me send that one to you so you can get a listen to that one.
Wait a minute, I'm pulling it up. Hold on. Let me pull up this Owl Hunting diss track. Hold on.
If you can't find it,
I got it.
You got it? Okay.
I got it. Jackson never painted his nails or got a
stick, did he? I mean, there's something sus about him. This one doesn't really sound like it.
Is this it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Ah, turn it off. That's AI. That's terrible. That wasn't a good rendition. The one you sent me yesterday sounds really good. And that's what's crazy about this whole AI thing too, because there's good versions and then there's complete versions like terrible. And not even voice wise, it's the bars on there. That shit was like,
oh,
that
man,
was
he got the Twitter. I gotta be careful. Oh yeah, that's the same one.
That's the same thing
because that name was on there. So that's the same one.
Okay.
Had to be careful because you know Twitter be showing the good shit now at this time.
Yeah, so I mean with all this the AI shit going on, man, it's hard to tell what's who's and who's what. And that's why I would hope that when the Kendrick release does come, hopefully it's from his actual, you know, drop the link yourself or Top Dog, drop the link yourself or whoever. Matter of fact, not even Top Dog because he's not on Top Dog anymore. So I don't think, you know what I'm saying, anybody, one of them would do that. So Baby King, you know, if you got the.
Yeah, I don't want to hear none of that shit.
Y'all niggas drop the link or, you know what I'm saying, please don't have me out here guessing.
Yeah, I don't want to hear no Baby King on no rap. See, here we go, right? All right, here we go, right here, G. Here's where I'm going to just say it. I don't want to hear none of these weird ass sounds. I don't want to hear none of that Baby Keem type shit. I don't want to hear none of that extra Kendrick Lamar shit. I don't want to hear no, I don't want to hear none of them sounds that Kendrick do. I want to hear raps, Kendrick. Straight raps. I want to hear you at the BET Hip Hop Awards. High five. I want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear this artsy ass Kendrick Lamar trying to do a diss. I don't need no barking or none of that. Rap, nigga. Rap. Sound like you. Yep. All right? Don't do that.
We don't want to hear you sounding like an alien.
Nah.
Or none of that shit. Spit them bars, bro.
Yep.
That's what we want.
That's what we want. I don't want to hear that extra shit.
it.
Give us the raps. Soon as I hit some weird ass sounds, you lost. Once I hear some,
long as it sound like the Like That verse, give me something similar to that. Just stay right there in that lane. Metro produced it would be absolutely.
I don't need to hear shit like this, Mike. I don't need to hear that shit. I don't need to hear shit like this, Mike. I don't need to hear shit like this, Mike. I don't need that. I don't need Cake to be like, no, yeah. I don't need Kendrick to be like that when it comes to Drake. Just rap, nigga.
Matter of fact, Metro Boomin, if you ain't did this already, look, you can shoot Kendrick over a couple of them beats, bro.
We still don't trust you, Drake. We still don't trust you, Drake. We still don't trust you, Drake. I don't need to hear no shit. It just rap.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But how do you feel? Like, I mean, we can say all this shit about this if you want, all we want to, but you know, Drake even put in his Instagram stories, you know, insinuating that nigga, we waiting.
With Kendrick Lamar's picture of allegedly Kendrick Lamar's manager.
Yeah, dude, bro. I forgot the nigga name, but I know on Instagram, Twitter, he was dude, bro. Today's the day. So what are your thoughts, man? What do you see happening? Can you kind of mention it, but I want you to go deeper. Do you feel like Kendrick has Drake where he wants him?
I think so. Okay. I believe so. Look, if Kendrick is in the mindset of everything that he said previously on these records, as far as like, man, I'm gonna make sure, you know what I'm saying, your fans, you know, I'm gonna make sure, like, I'm gonna, you know, just expose you, whoever, to allegedly who he's talking to. If he is on that time, if he's on that type of time that he's been talking about on these previous records, then yeah, he got this man lined up right where he want him, bro. I would expect nothing other than nuclear on this next response from Kendrick Lamar, bro. Like I said, I just hope that we get it officially, that we know that it's him. We ain't gotta like dissect it or like try to figure out if it's real or fake. But yes, Kendrick got Drake right where he want him. And honestly, I feel like Drake would respond again too. Like, you know, I think the end of the Push Ups record, you know, we saw the beat flip. We saw the beat switch. We saw that. So it made it seem like Drake had more to say. So I wouldn't mind another round or two from Drake, another round from Kendrick after this. But yes, I do agree with you 100% that this next one got to be a headshot. Now, whether, you know what I'm saying, he connects on the headshot thoroughly, that's to be determined. We'll see when the record drops, if it does drop, when it drops, who knows, how is it going to be dropped. It could be on an album, surprise album from Kendrick, who knows, or it could be just a regular release, or we could get it how we getting it on some mixtape shit. You know what I'm saying? Drop the link with a DJ's, you know, vocals on it, possibly. Who Kid again? Who knows? I don't know, bro. It's so many ways that this can go. But yes, I could see this next shot being a very, very significant one towards Drake. And honestly, I think Drake's prepared, though. I wasn't sure if he was prepared or not, if he even wanted to engage in this, but from what I'm seeing, Drake look like he ready for war. He off tour, bro. He got time. He ain't doing shit. He bored.
Yeah.
Drake bored. He all on IG. You know what I'm saying? Getting petty and shit. Yeah, my boy Drake got time right now, fam.
You know what I really love about this battle?
Yeah.
If you really want me to be honest, you know the best thing I love about this battle? Because we ain't got to hear who going to win in the verses no more. I'm so, man, let's get back to the real shit. I ain't heard or seen nobody say, man, who you think going to win in the verses? Drake or Kendrick Lamar? Nah, fuck that shit. We rapping.
It's over for that verses shit.
It's over for that. We don't need to hear what 20 songs you going to put next to another song and nothing like that. We rapping right here, my nigga. The battle we were supposed to get with Diddy versus Jermaine Dupri was replaced by this one right here.
We back outside.
We back outside. We back outside,
baby.
I give a fuck about who. We don't give a fuck about 20 songs versus 20 songs no more. Give us the raps, my nigga.
We do not need to go on IG Live, though, boy.
Mm-mm.
Determine whose song is better than what. We gonna get to these bars.
Oh, man, Mike. Mike, that feels so good.
What a time to be alive.
That feels so good. We ain't gotta have no debates.
Yeah, about which song
about what particular song might get played. What song trumps another song, nigga? It's bars.
Get to these bars, man.
Fuck a versus.
I like that.
Ain't nobody even mentioned Timbaland or Swiss Beast's name.
Them niggas is quiet right now, fam.
They quiet. And you know what? It's no disrespect to them. But you know what, Swiss and Timbaland? We want to see this. We don't want to see somebody on Instagram Live picking songs.
Yeah.
Pick these bars, fam. Pick these raps.
Yeah, man.
So excited about this, Mike.
I'm all for it.
J. Cole, how does J. Cole feel today?
I don't know how he's feeling right now, bro. But again, I want people to let J. Cole know that it is okay, bro, if you want to get back engaged in this shit, fam. I swear to God, fam, if you came out with a record right now, fam, and that shit was aiming directly at Kendrick, bro, and you going at that nigga, bro, all will be forgotten. I swear to God. You can do that, Cole. You can do that. I will forget about that 4 minutes on stage that you gave us, fam. It will be cleared out of my memory. J. Cole can do this, fam. I think he waiting on what Kendrick going to say first, though, because I promise you, if Kendrick do come out, bro, and he does aim at J. Cole, and I think kind of Cole's expecting that, too, because he told him, like, man, yo, if he do decide to diss me, even after me apologizing, I'll just take it on the chin and all of that shit like that, you know what I'm saying, and blah, blah, blah. I honestly don't feel like the rapper inside of J. Cole would just sit there and take a diss on the chin, especially if it's effective. The rapper in him got to, bro. It got to make him recant that shit and get in the booth. So I would hope that's what he's thinking right now. But right now, though, he probably just working on his album. Because apparently, we're supposed to be getting that soon. So we'll see. We'll see. But I want people to let him know that it's okay for him to come out and get busy.
J. Cole, come outside, man.
Come outside, bro. It's safe out here, fam. It's cool. Niggas is shooting, but put your vest on, dog.
Put your vest on.
Put your vest on, bro.
Put your poo shiesty mask on.
Take your gun off safety, nigga.
And come out swinging, fam. Nah, man, we having fun out here.
It's cool, dog. We shoot.
Three-way dance, man. Let's do WrestleMania this shit. Three-way dance. Yeah, Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan, fam. Let's go. Shoot at both of them.
They
both underestimating you.
Make it interesting.
Or matter of fact, no, Ross is there too. Fatal 4-Way. WrestleMania 2000 this shit. Rock, Triple H, Big Show. Who's the other nigga?
Wait, who do you
Mick
say?
Foley.
Yeah.
Mick Foley. Matter of fact, J. Cole, because Mick Foley retired and he came back. Come on, Cole, let's go.
Come outside, dog.
WrestleMania 2000.
And you technically still in this shit because you're on Future's album. You're on the new album. I understand that verse probably was recorded before all of this shit jumped off, but at the end of the day, you still on it.
J. Cole.
You still on the album. You rapping.
Slide.
It's okay, bro.
That's all we asking, fam. Slide.
Come on out, dog. It's cool, fam. All will be forgotten.
It's cool. It's cool. Let's let it ride, fam.
Somebody tell J. Cole it's safe to come out, bro. It's cool.
We're omen that.
Because niggas got to be like, come on, dog. Yeah. Somebody get in touch with Omen, man. Somebody from the crib get in touch with him and let him know that, hey, we rocking with you, Cole. You could come out and play, dog. It's cool.
Yeah. It's okay, Cole. We need this.
That's where I'm at with it.
For the culture.
For the culture, dog. Let's do it for
Fatal 4-Way. Future's in it. So how many people, matter of fact, fuck all that. This is a Royal Rumble. This is a Royal, not even a Royal, yeah, because this is a Royal Rumble, because you never know who going to pop up. Because at first it was just Kendrick, first it was no first person shooter.
Yeah.
Then then Kendrick Lamar comes out with Like That. But then after that, you got Weeknd, who's jumped into the fray.
Abel.
You got ASAP Rocky, who's jumped in. You got Rick Ross, who's jumped in. Shit, Simba, who's jumped in. Am I missing somebody else?
Simba did jump in. Yes, he did. Oh, check it out. So apparently, I don't know if you've seen the game's latest IG post. But I you know Chuck go. You know how Chuck
this is. Nigga.
But whose side is Chuck on? We know he fuck with Drake, and we know he from Compton.
Basically, yeah, this is a Royal Rumble. It's just
so what he doing?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bah, theme song come in. Also, somebody just run out.
And apparently, Lupe, and then
Lupe
called out Royce again. He trying to insert himself in this shit.
Oh, we got a rap Royal Rumble going on. You know, gotta love it. So let's let rap Royal Rumble right now. It's Cole, Drake, ASAP Rocky, Future, Weeknd, Lupe, The Game, Royce da 5'9", Rick Ross,
Metro Boomin. Shit, we got 10.
Jadakiss, because he's on Stephen A. Smith saying, yo, I'm confused.
Right, he said he want to talk to J. Cole.
He want to talk to J. Cole.
We got Simba. You said Simba. That's 11.
Yeah, Simba. That's 11.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, we got a Royal Rumble. Come on. We right now, we need 20-something more rappers to jump into this battle royal. Royce. I don't think we said Royce, so that's 12. Yeah, maybe Joe Budden might come out of retirement. Apparently, that's 13.
Yeah, it's crazy right now, bro. One rap beef. See how one verse could fuck up the game.
Man.
That's real life right there, fam. Real life.
Hey, man. I'm excited about this rap Royal Rumble.
I'm with it.
You know what I'm saying? Let's see if this Royal Rumble, like, you know, the Roman Reigns, you know, Royal Rumble, where it was, you know, him versus everybody. Let's see if this is like Ric Flair, the best man at the end wins.
Yeah.
Because...
Oh, Uma Thurman didn't jump in.
Uma Thurman
didn't jump in this shit.
Oh, it's Uma Thurman. Uma Thurman's in the battle, too.
Oh, my God, bro.
What the hell's going on?
She brought a sword back out, bro.
All right, so if this is the case, if this is the rap Royal Rumble, Drake, Kendrick, ASAP, Rick Ross, Simba, Future, The Game, Lupe, Royce da 5'9", since he wants to re-engage.
Got Jada.
Jadakiss. Uma Thurman. Who else do you want to see in this battle royal?
Shit, bro.
Who else you want to see in this battle royal?
It ain't a Royal Rumble without, like, you know what I'm saying, a strange guest. It ain't always just a wrestler.
A surprise, you know, right.
Surprise guest. So Uma Thurman's your surprise guest.
She's one.
Who else? Who's jumping in? I don't know.
Oh, Rick Ross's baby mama.
Check that out. Look.
Tokyo Tony.
Drake's mom. She texting about
Rick kid. Ross is a racist. Rick Ross is a racist now. Hey, mom. This fat racist who performs at proms. All right, before we finish with this Royal Rumble piece, I just got to say this, Drake. I'm looking at you crazy right now.
Hey, matter of fact, Academics is in it. He's in it. Academics. He's starting all this shit.
No, Academics is one of the announcers. Academics is Vince McMahon right now.
DJ Who Kid is in it. He involved.
DJ Who Kid is Bobby the Brain Heenan right now.
50 Cent in it because he put a post up about, you know what I'm saying, these niggas getting killed by a light-skinned nigga. Motherfucking dark-skinned niggas got to fight back. 50
Cent is an orator. He's Bobby the Brain Heenan.
He has inserted himself into the
Royal Rumble. Bobby the Brain Heenan. He's an announcer. Those are your announcers. Yeah. Your announcers in this Royal Rumble are DJ Academics, Who Kid, and 50 Cent.
Okay.
But let's get to the racism part before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Bruh, Drake, how does a black man call another black man racist?
That's why I said this is Rick Ross jumping into this shit is so random, bro.
No. Fuck the Rick Ross piece. Drake, you're a black man, Drake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drake, how you call another black man racist to your mama? Somebody explain that to me. That's the only part of the battle that I've been like, huh? I don't give a fuck about the nose jobs. All y'all niggas get y'all nose or something done.
Yeah.
How you call Rick Ross racist to your white mom, G? confused. And y'all shared a text. Like, it was funny. Bruh, that's the most caring thing I've seen in hip-hop.
Crazy.
Like, who is this guy? Obs? Who is this guy, and why is he calling you, like, saying your nose is done? Mom, don't worry about him. He's just some washed-up fat rapper who performs at proms, and he's a racist. I'm confused on that.
That shit crazy.
Where's the racism, Drake?
Oh, man.
Tell us, where's the racism at?
I mean, I guess apparently he just keep calling him white boy.
I mean, so?
Why is Ross referring to him as a white boy?
Well, shit, if you telling your white mom that you're getting accosted by a fat, racist black dude, that's why.
But why is Rick Ross, like, using that term at him directly? Like, white boy.
Because he's probably a mixed dude that's done some white boy shit.
And it with emphasis.
Because he's probably a white dude. He's probably a black dude that did that. He saw do some white boy shit.
Yeah.
But to tell your mom, yeah, he's a racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I was like, ah, you shouldn't have shared that text, Drake. You shouldn't have shared. You supposed to be a black man. Saying that another black man is racist.
Yeah.
It's a little funny in the lights.
Funny.
It's a little funny in the light, my friends.
Yeah.
A little funny in the light.
We shall see, but to be determined. To be continued, guys. To be continued,
man. With that being said, man, that's really about it, man. Really have to hit on this battle shit.
Yeah.
This rap Royal Rumble. Ain't even got to worry about even though the WNBA draft happened. Caitlin Clark went number one like we thought.
You knew that.
Camilla and Angel is headed to the crib.
Yes, sir.
Shout Twin out to Towers.
I called it too. When the Sky traded up, they traded their pick up. I was like, oh, Angel Reese is gonna be available. I said, I could see it. In the shy.
And look, man, I'm not going front and act like it's time for me to go to the WNBA game.
Mm-hmm.
And for everybody, look, real quick, I do want to say this, though. I feel the need to have to say this before we get out of here. Everybody's on the internet complaining about WNBA salaries. And I get it. But the fact that the Chicago Sky got two of the best players in the draft and two of the biggest known names in March Madness this year. And Caitlin Clark is the other big name. The fact that happened and ticket sales skyrocketed for both teams, that's why the salaries are the way that they are for him. That's exactly why. When y'all get on social media and be like, why is the salaries of the WNBA so low? And then you see the tickets raised in the way that they got raised when those players got drafted. When you see that Caitlin Clark's 80% of her games is going to be on TV. Matter of fact, no, I'm sorry. 95% of her games are going to be on TV. It tells you everything you need to hear about the salaries, man. It tells you everything. They still in their infancy stages, man. Yeah. The Bulls gave Michael Jordan $36 million the year that he was in the 50 greatest players of all time, man. He was playing on that lit-ass salary since 1991, fam. Magic Johnson signed a 25-year, $25 million contract. Magic Johnson was making only $1 million his whole damn career, damn near. The TV deal is what gave the Marks money. Go look at the 1996 free agency and watch and see how niggas was getting bread. Nigga Jim McElvain, who averaged 1.7 points per game, got $36 million from the goddamn Seattle Supersonics. How? What the fuck? Why?
Yeah.
Remember Juwan Howard and Alonzo Mourning almost got $100 million from the Miami Heat. And Lee was like, oh, no, y'all tripping.
Yeah.
That TV deal, fam. So, ladies and gentlemen, if y'all care about the salaries of the women of the WNBA, go to the damn game and watch it on TV. If y'all complaining about the salaries, but y'all can't even tell us the starting five of the Chicago Sky, that's why the salaries are low. That's why. Because even back in 1993, I knew some of the bench players on NBA teams because of basketball cards. Mm-hmm. Nigga had no idea who Liddell Echols was on the court, but I had that nigga basketball card. Rumeel Robinson. I didn't know he played for the national champion Michigan Wolverines in 1989-90. Had that nigga Atlanta Hawks basketball card, though. Who's the most random basketball player card that you ever had, Mike? Do you remember?
No. Dang, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. About 15 books of cards over there.
Get a book out. They old cards?
They old, yeah.
Oh, get the cards, nigga. And Bob, hold on. You gotta do this before we dip.
I'm back real quick. Hold on. Let's do this real quick before I go.
Do this. Yeah, we do this real quick.
You said random? Look, I got it.
Let's get some random. We're going to end the show. We're going to end shows regularly with random ass basketball players' cards.
Okay. All right, you guys. Let's see. We got Tracy Murray for the Washington Wizards, ladies and gentlemen.
Who also played for the Toronto Raptors. He was in the trade that bought Clyde Drexler to the Houston Rockets. Who else we got?
All right, we got a couple more. Let me get a couple more. Let's see. I wouldn't even necessarily say, oh, yeah, let's do this one. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is very random. Shout out to Roderick Rhodes.
That's a name, nigga, that I'm talking about. I forgot all about Roderick Rhodes.
Oh, man.
Nigga, two more, then we out.
Two more, okay, all right, let's see what we got here, ladies and gentlemen. This is very random. Shout out to Dean Garrett of the Denver Nuggets.
That nigga only played in the preseason.
Oh, man, hold on.
It's a preseason shot. One more,
let's see if I can find one more. Shout out to Chauncey Builders. Chauncey Builders just got inducted into the hall. So, yes. Where he's going into the hall. I got one more, bro. Milwaukee Bucks. Terrell Brandon, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey. Terrell Brandon is not no random man. He's a former All-Star, fam. You got to pick another one.
You know what? You're right. Because 2 years with the Cavs,
that nigga was a beast on the Cavs, fam.
Forgive me. Okay, let me see. I could find one more for you, man. I got some shit in here, so he necessarily ain't random. Shit,
you got a Dean Garrett card.
I got an Avery Johnson. Okay, this is one right here. This is a random. Let me make sure. Hold on. Yeah, this is definitely random right here. Oh, yeah. Cedric Henderson, Cleveland Cavaliers.
Ladies. Ooh, that's what's the name? what's my man name? That's somebody's son.
In the league now?
Nah, they used to be up in the league. But Cedric Henderson, and that's with the old Cavs jersey, ain't it?
Yeah, that was the
when they had the like the black and baby blue patches.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
That's what we talking about, man. Mike, end us off.
Hey, man, some dude pod. Make sure y'all rate. Make sure y'all like. Make sure y'all subscribe. Shout out to everybody that's watching us on YouTube right now. Shout out to the homie Kier. Shout out to DG. Shout out to Kenneth Reed. Shout out to King Smoke. Shout out to Lowrider Chevy 64. Shout out to Reg Young. You know what I'm saying? For locking in with us on the YouTube. If you're on the YouTube right now and you haven't subscribed yet, subscribe to the YouTube channel, The What Digital. We on IG at Some Dude Pod. We on Twitter at Some Dude Pod. At @MikeB_CHR. @JR Bang. Facebook group is #SomeDudePod. Invite people into the group. You know what I'm saying? Make sure they get involved with the conversation and everything like that. Episode 198, we done with that one. We got a big announcement coming up next week on next week's show. So make sure y'all stay locked in for that. I'm Mike B. That's JR Bang, and we gone.
Yo, it's your girl Nate Kale, and this is Some Dude Podcast. We out. Peace.